Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders, where we learn about the bold path of building digital products that sell themselves. Let's listen to product leaders who can give us a glimpse into the innovative thinking process. Showcasing and celebrating these awesome folks, I'm your host, UX and product design veteran, Thomas Watkins. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders. And we have a really cool guest here today. It's Shailesh Hegde, and he is the VP of Product and Design at a cool company called Hubbelo, and we're going to hear a lot about it today. And Shailesh, going to go through a little bit of his background, but he's been an engineer, he's been a product manager, a principal product manager, and today leads the design and product at Hubbelo. Shailesh, thank you for being here.
Thanks so much, Thomas. Lovely to be here.
Awesome. So let's start off. There's a lot of stuff on Hubbelo that I'm going to want to kind of hear about and learn about because it seems like a really cool product. And I think it'll be relevant, frankly, to a lot of folks who are in the digital product space. But why don't we start off with just a little bit about you, a little bit about your background, and how did this lead to this, where you are now with being a product and design focused kind of person?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually started off with an engineering degree and got into the software testing or quality assurance side of the engineering space. Starting off very early, working for Siemens, Nokia, and then did my master's in the US and joined a startup, which was acquired by Cisco. So I spent a few years in Cisco doing a lot of networking stuff. And really building out testing frameworks and things like that. And around that time, I wanted to explore something that was more broader than sort of the testing role that I had. And this was at a time when I had already moved back from the US, back to India, back to Bangalore. And I was exploring different things. And that's when I got to know about this whole thing called product management. And then I took a quick intro class at a college that was doing product management lessons. And that got me really hooked. So that's when I started enjoying just learning about it. Loved how broad the role was, where you could not just build product, but you have to talk to different teams, figure out what's got to be done, and also think about things through launch. And I'd interacted with a few PMs in my engineering role, and I always found that role exciting. So I decided to give it a shot. I did this part-time course, which became really hectic when I look back, because it was I was in a startup called Blue Jeans back then, and doing this 18-month course over the weekends can be really taxing. But I enjoyed it a lot. And it so happened that Blue Jeans had an opening for a product manager. I interviewed for it. I got through it. And that's how my journey with product management really started. And I really loved it. The challenges that come with it, the excitement that comes with it, the day-to-day rigor that is there. I just loved a lot of those aspects, and I kept learning and growing in that role. So Blue Jeans gave me a lot of different opportunities to try different things. So I started owning like a small part of the product to a larger part and doing different things, speaking on stage, doing product demos, talking to marketing about how to launch something. So all of those types of experiences really helped me. Of course, as part of that, design became like a big part, like just collaborating with designers and figuring out how that product will be. Then cut to Hubbelo, which was an early stage startup, which was building a product in a similar but slightly broader area of virtual events. And now we have this webinar tool as well. So that really was my experience of how do you start something from scratch, right? From the product process to growing a team from 3 PMs to 10 PMs, it really gave me that exposure of being a product leader and while being hands-on, also understanding how to grow the team, how to grow the product, how to build strategy at a company level, not just at a smaller product level. And I think I became like well-rounded in design, product marketing, and so on. So yeah, that's how my journey has been so far, from being
right.
a test person to, you know, leading teams.
And one of the things I'm hearing in that story is that you got out there a lot, right? And so, you know, I think kind of product people in general, you just have to be out there. You're competing in a marketplace where it's, you know, it's lots of ideas, lots of different buyers out there. And then, So you go through years of that and fast forward to now you're at Hubbelow leading the design and the product. So let's go into Hubbelow a little bit and tell us about what is Hubbelow. What are you guys building?
Yeah, sure. Hubbelow is actually, and it's made up of two words, hub and ILO. And basically, whenever you add ILO at the front of a word, it becomes the enabler of the prefix. So Hubbelow is the enabler of hubs. That's how it came about. So at Hubbelow, we are a B2B focused webinar tool. And we just don't focus on making webinars execution easy. We actually want to make webinars a lot more effective than they are today, right? Whether it is from a lead generation perspective, whether it is from a content repurposing perspective, we just want Hubbelow to be the best product out there, which will make webinars as a channel for marketing teams really, really effective. And one may ask, why build yet another webinar tool when there are 50 out there? And it's really because we found a lot of these webinar tools being extremely execution focused and not really outcome focused in terms of what you want to gain from that webinar as a marketer, right? So that's our vision, that we want to make something that's extremely effective in enhancing the quality of webinars.
Let's dive into that a little bit, because that's important. You brought up a couple of important points there. There's first the question of, don't build something if there's a lot of stuff out there. But a lot of the hit products that we see, like Zoom, Slack, everything, they weren't the first mover, and they came rather late, actually. Like Slack came way after the invention of the instant messenger and the concept of a channel, but they did it better than everybody else. And so I want to kind of double click on something you said, where the competitors are, they're not outcomes focused. They are, is it execution focused? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Yes.
So talk a little bit about that. So where a lot of these companies are going wrong, is it, describe what you really mean by that, the execution focus versus outcomes.
Yeah. And I wouldn't necessarily say that those companies are going wrong, because those companies are making revenue.
Sure.
It's just that I suppose when you are an entrant into a market where there are a bunch of people already around, you need to figure out how you can make something better. And what we noticed in this particular case is, when we did our research, that most of the companies who are a webinar platform focus on the execution of the webinar platform, not so much on what you get out of a webinar as a marketer, right? So we decided to focus on that, and all our discovery questions and talk tracks with potential customers was around that. I'll give you a very quick example. Most companies just want to run a webinar. They are not really focused on, how do I improve the attendance percentage of this webinar? Most companies want to execute the webinar and create this video and put it on their website. They're perhaps not thinking about how to automatically create a lot more assets than that, just that webinar video, because they do it manually today, or they just don't do it. And hence we found the need for, or we found a gap where the webinar tool is not helping them do these things automatically. They're just helping in the execution part of it. So if you could build not just an execution platform, that's like table stakes, as we call it, but you need to build something more, which will help you differentiate. And when you say that, when you tell someone, hey, when you have a webinar tool that not just helps you in execution, but it's also going to create a lot more content for you, helps your content teams. It's going to improve your attendance rates. Then they sit up and take notice. And that's what we are starting to see happen.
That sounds so awesome. So tell me if I have this right. So that at Hubalo, you're viewing not just webinars, but you're viewing the role that the webinar plays in the sales cycle. So it's not just like, let's make a webinar. Somebody said that they're really good for marketing, so let's do one. You're actually looking at that as part of the pipeline, and within that, webinar is a piece. Then what do you need from the webinar? You need the output from it. You need, you know, maybe the clips for your social media. You need other materials. Mm-hmm. So that's the gap that you guys found, and that you're zeroing in on that and making that be a great experience.
Exactly. And that's how we came up with this tagline for our product, saying 2x your pipeline with webinars on Hubalo, because otherwise you're just going with, okay, you got 100 people, but then what if you want 200 people, or out of that 100 people, you want 50 of them to be a lot more engaged, right? So, and with all the new content that you create, indirectly, you're creating more pipeline as well, because it's going to go out social and have this indirect effect of more people seeing it and things like that.
Okay, so Shailesh, one of the things I'm curious about is on your team, the relationship between product and design. And we know what the traditional product folks are. They're people who know the marketplace and they produce the requirements. We know that designers, they have lots of different methods and things like that. What about like the overlap where you're using methods to help out with strategy, or, you know, there's kind of that interplay and the dance between product and design, right? And the engineers on the other side. So tell us a little bit about the kind of the ecosystem with product and design.
Yeah, sure. And we've also evolved over time, because we were a small team, then we were a very large team, and now we are back to being like a smaller team. So that process has evolved, but it's evolved in a way where we had zero discovery, but it is just because we were going through this crazy phase of growth, and a lot of requests were just incoming to us, and we just didn't have the bandwidth to go out and do our own explorations. So I don't think that was ideal, but I guess at that point we didn't have choice. Over time, maybe 6 months later, I started realizing that we are just getting overwhelmed with what's incoming to us, and we need to be more proactive and take charge of that. So what do we need to do is we need to do discovery of our own, right? And when that happened, I guess things became a lot more in our control, because we knew who our customers were more deeply, and we were able to have a structured conversation around their needs, the gaps that they're seeing, and so on. It also helped us hone in on our ICP better. Because before that, when we didn't have a process, even our sales process was a bit like vague, in the sense that we didn't really nail our ICP right. And that was causing a whole lot of other side effects. But once we made a decision as a company that this is the target market for us, then we were able to build a very clear discovery process for that particular market. And that discovery process was mainly to build a new product. So I think it was almost like a 0 to 1 for this webinar tool that I'm talking about. And after multiple conversations across people from different segments, we were, one, able to identify the need for a new webinar tool for a specific segment, because they were not being served right. All right. Like you say, they were being underserved or overserved, but they were not being served correctly. So that is sort of the broader picture to how discovery came into being. And then we take that to the next level deeper, wherein we do some discovery with a bunch of open-ended questions around how are their webinar processes, workflows, and all of those things. We have a UX researcher who would go in and I would do those interviews myself, actually, because I wanted to make sure that we build the right product, and that is not something I wanted to delegate. I would delegate it now because we've built the product and it's more about adding features. But at the 0 to 1 stage, I would do those discovery calls myself. We probably did about 50 to 60 such discovery calls across different parts of the market in order to hone in on that. And then my team would help me in gathering insights from those calls, re-listening to them, creating these patterns and whatnot. So that is how the UX research team and the design team came into being, into play around the discovery process, right? And once the product was built, now for net new features that we build, I'm delegating that process to the designer and the researcher, where they create a list of questions around the use case, around that particular feature or problem statement. Because again, in our space, webinars are a known entity. So it's not something like, you know, that's completely new. So there are these well-defined boundaries, but we still have to investigate or check in deeply to understand how we can build something differently, right? So the discovery process is a lot more structured right now because we've done a bunch of discovery early on, and everyone knows how we are going to go about it, how are we going to find insights, how are we going to work with design thereafter to create some mockups, go back to those people, understand a little more, and make that continuous discovery more of a process and a habit.
Now, this great, great description right there. And what I see a lot of PLG companies or aspiring PLG companies, and it's, you guys seem very PLG, but a lot of them kind of start off doing services. It just did the hand raise thing. That's gonna mess up for the posting of the the podcast, because we do the video on one side and we'll get it. I don't know if it carries over. Anyway, you start off doing services a lot of times, and then segue into, we want to be totally 100% product, to where we don't have to babysit the new customers as they sign up. They completely log up on their own. We're not involved in any of the process at all. Would you consider yourself, are you 100% on the product side in terms of the setup and stuff, or almost there?
So right now we are not. We are, I wouldn't say it's not whether it's product led or sales led. I wouldn't say it's as self-serve as it needs to be. Meaning, right. You can't go and sign up for something and like completely set up the webinar. We do have a little bit of a provisioning process on the back end, which once done, then you're completely on your own, right? So you can completely set up the webinar and do whatever you want. We've been thinking about moving towards the PLG motion, as one may call it. But we also believe that webinar, and we did some discovery around this aspect also, because, for example, Zoom has a self-serve motion for their webinar product. However, it depends on which side of the market they are serving. We've decided to go for a market which is slightly higher mid-market, okay. Lesser enterprise. Not saying that self-serve shouldn't be there, but we just decided to first build a product that would resonate with them. And once we see success, we can open up the product and make it more self-serve and PLG oriented.
Yes, satisfy somebody before you satisfy everybody. Yeah, so correct. This is kind of like the large companies.
Correct. So that's where we are at the moment. And I wouldn't rule out a PLG motion like this year or early next year, because we are seeing success in that segment. But like I was saying, we also thought about this in the discovery. And webinars are not a standalone product. They need to be integrated with the marketing systems. And people who own that entire piece, like the marketing operations person or the demand gen person who is responsible for webinars, they don't want to simply, you know, not talk to anyone and try the product and integrate it with their system, which is like a big task for them, right? So they may try the functions of the product on its own, like independently. Does the video work? How does the question and answer piece work? But the integration aspect is a very important aspect that they wouldn't just do using a free trial product or something that they do without speaking to someone on our end, right? So we know that the customer has to speak to us or have at least one brief call in order to figure out that integration aspect. It's not that we can build it out completely in a self-serve manner. So why not just build a product that is differentiating itself, and then we can add on the PLG piece of it. And that's going to be our plan.
That sounds good. Shailesh Hegde, I think this is really exciting of a product that you're building and the thing that you and your team is working on. Thank you for sharing these insights today. I wish I could talk more, but looks like we're at the end of our time. Thank you for being on the show.
Thanks so much, Tom. It's really nice being here.
Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on Product-Led Growth Leaders. Take care.